No, it's good.
Yeah, it was good.
It just took me a while.
No, I appreciated.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for March 22nd, 2016. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Gamble, and Scarborough.
Thank you. And we heard from Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Davis that they would not be here at last week's meeting. I also received word that Councilmember Camp will not be here this evening earlier today. So without objection, we will consider them excused. All right. Councilmember Cuddeback, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And unless there's objection, I'd like to go ahead and move the presentation for the 2015 Police Department Employee Awards to a little bit later on the agenda. We are still waiting for one person to arrive that is a recipient. Okay. So we'll see how things are going a little bit later on the agenda. So with that said, we're going to move on to public comment. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-up sheet. You're not required to sign up on the sheet. Do we have anybody that signed up tonight? We do have one person. Each speaker is limited to 5 minutes for public comment, and we have Mr. Mike Buse. Mr. Buse, will please come forward and state your name and record for the record.
State my name and the record?
Yes, state your name and address from the record.
I didn't know what he meant.
My name is Mike Buse. I'm the president of the chamber. And I could take 5 minutes to tell you how awesome this gal is, but I'd like to just introduce Yvonne. She is our new chamber director. And the worlds finally came together, and we found the best of all of them. So we're really excited to have her, and I wanted to let her say a few words. But this is Yvonne.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Yvonne, and I am just here to say hi and to meet everybody. A couple of you I've met before. We've talked, and I'm so excited to be here and super thrilled to have gotten this amazing job. And this is great. So if you have any questions or any ideas or just need to talk or anything, please, I'm in the office and Shelly and I are always around and are ready to get started together.
Thank you and welcome. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council on any issue? All right. Deputy Chief, are we still on hold? Okay. I'm going to hand down the Yvonne's business cards. All right. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. The next item we have on the agenda is new business, item number one. This is AB 16036, authorize additional position development review engineer. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. During the preparation of the 2016 budget, we contemplated an additional engineering position as a senior engineer and along with the additional construction inspector. At that time, we felt that we could handle the workload that was coming in with just the construction inspector. However, as things have progressed during the year with the amount of new development that's going on, especially in the residential area with new plats and things like that, along with the amount of construction projects that we have that are taking time with key keeping track of the contractors, it's become necessary to ask for an additional engineering position. And that engineer would concentrate on the development review side of things to make sure that we're keeping up with our code enforcement of design standards and things like that with new development, and also helping the developers as they work on their projects to take care of any issues that come up in the field. Quite often that happens, and then we have to take somebody off of a construction project when they're doing their design work or something and work with them. Hopefully that when the more time is spent up front with the developers, it will eliminate some of those problems that happen further down the line when they start working on their projects. This position will be funded out of the water, sewer, street, and stormwater funds, so there will be no money out of the general fund, and those funds have the sufficient capacity to handle that. If we could hire them as soon as possible, it would be about $20,800 for each fund for this year, and in the future it would be about $31,250 for each fund. And that's the presentation. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Questions? Councilmember Scarborough.
So at this point, it's a $95,000 a year job. Is that benefits and salary?
No, it's $125,000 a year.
$125?
Yeah, for a whole year.
Okay. That includes benefits?
That includes benefits, yes.
And coming out of these four funds?
Correct.
In the future as well?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, but is that our normal process for their whole salary to come out of the water, sewer, street, stormwater?
Yes.
Even though they're a senior engineer doing development review?
Right, because they're reviewing it for the water system, for the sewer
okay.
system, for the stormwater system.
Only for those four, not for any other like building or?
No, not that, no.
Okay, all
yeah.
right, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Council, is there a motion? Councilmember Cutterback?
Move to authorize the addition of one FTE to the authorized full-time equivalent employees list on page 33 of the City of Monroe 2016 budget.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to authorize the addition of one FTE to the authorized full-time equivalent FTE employees list on page 33 of the City of Monroe 2016 budget. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda this evening is final action. This is final action number 1, AB 16037, ordinance number 002-2016, amending MMC 2012, transportation impact fees, first and final reading. The material is at your positions. I'm sorry for the material being late this evening. And Mr. Feilberg will be making the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The City Council recently adopted a new transportation plan along with new transportation impact fees. In trying to make things easier when we did that, it turns out that we had some unintended consequences that actually charged redevelopment of businesses to pay more money than they would have previously. So this is an attempt to fix that, which would basically change the definition of development activity to not include changes of use. So if somebody moves into a vacated building and has a slightly different use, or a substantially different use, they would not be charged any additional transportation impact fees. So they would only be paid once in the beginning when the building was first occupied. This will reduce the amount of transportation impact fees that we collect, because obviously some people will not be paying them, but it really doesn't make a difference in the grand overall scheme of things, because the fees are based on expected new employment centers. So that's probably really expecting new building to be built and also new residential homes. So the over the long term, the impact should not be any lesser amount collected by the city. It will probably take a little bit longer for it to come, but it won't be over the long term. There will not be any reduction in the amount of money we collect. Any And the other thing it also does is it adds this, changes the section in the code that will hopefully close the loophole of people, developers, starting a building as a really low use, the charge uses a small fee, and then halfway through the process, changing it and moving something in that has a higher use, and we've been required to pay a higher fee. So it says that if they haven't occupied the building yet, it has to be the first use that pays that fee. I think that's it.
Okay.
Any questions? I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. And just to, for the sake of a little bit more background information on this, I became aware of a proposed use in the downtown. It would be a change in use from a retail establishment that was selling clothing to a coffee house, and it the change in use would have resulted in a payment of about $10,000 in transportation impact fees just for the change of use, not adding square footage to the building. And so when I became aware of that, I felt that it was important to bring it to council's attention and offer a potential solution. There are other ways that the council could certainly look at doing this, but when I learned of going from a clothing retail to a coffee shop, having a $10,000 transportation impact fee for a building that was already built, that had already been occupied, it was enough of a concern for me to bring forward the proposal that you have before you tonight. Now, do note that it is before you an emergency ordinance. That means that if the council were to adopt it, it would become effective immediately. However, it would still need to go through the Planning Commission to become permanent. As I understand it, from the time that it becomes effective to the time that the permanent regulations go into effect, if they're not the same as what you would adopt, for the period of time that this would be in effect, the new uses that would go in would be under this regulation. But if a different regulation were adopted after going through the Planning Commission process, which could take, 90 days?
90 days.
About 90 days, any applications coming in during that window would be vested to these regulations if you adopted them. Lastly, it is an emergency ordinance. It would require an affirmative vote of 5 council members. So obviously with only 4 present tonight, it is not something that you would take action on this evening. And there is no meeting next week. Therefore, certainly discussion, deliberation, if council likes after discussion what you see before you, we could bring it back 2 weeks from now. Of course, make revisions, whatever it is that you're looking for, but it, as an emergency ordinance, would require 5 votes. I think that's the extent of what I have to add to it, and I will go ahead and recognize Councilmember Gamble, but before I do that, Gene, do you have anything else to add? Okay. Did I get everything right there?
Yes.
Brad? Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have anything to add? Community development? Okay. All right. Councilmember Gamble.
So, help clarify something for me, because when you were describing, and then when I read in the agenda bill here, the impact to the budget, because you were saying that there is an impact, but it was unintended, and it's saying no direct budget impact. So which one is it?
Well, it depends on what you mean by direct, budget impact. This taking this action doesn't directly cost money. There will be less money collected.
But we weren't planning on collecting it.
It's unplanned money that isn't. I mean, when they set the fees for the new fees in the transportation plan, that was based on new development. So in the long term, we're not going to be collecting less money.
So when we set the fees, mm-hmm. did it change? Did we not used to have this? Because you said it was an unintended consequence.
When we redid the classifications of use, we tried to make them smaller classifications so there wouldn't be so many choices for people to choose from to make it easier. So it ended up splitting a retail business from a coffee shop business. They used to be
okay.
The same classification.
They were in the same classification, so the exact situation that the mayor is talking about a year ago, they wouldn't have been hit with a
$10,000.
So there is no impact to the budget.
Yeah, if you look at
per
it that way,
per se, right.
Because
we weren't planning on it. That wasn't our intention.
Correct.
We didn't budget it or forecast it in that manner. Okay, that's the clarification I needed.
Okay.
Total support.
Okay. So, councilmembers, there aren't any other lights. If there is no, councilmember Cuddeback.
Well, just a question about process. So, we can't waive our right. Just do a first and second reading. It has to be an emergency ordinance.
Correct. So what I'm...
If it has to go through the Planning Commission?
Our code requires anything that's contained in Chapter 17 through 20 has to
go through the Planning Commission. Yeah. Okay, and that's why we're handling it this way.
Well, so you have a couple options.
Yeah.
One is you could say, great idea, we don't want to do an emergency ordinance, we'd like it to go through Planning Commission.
Okay.
It goes through Planning Commission, it comes back, maybe it's exactly the way that it's looking right now, maybe it's a little bit different. The issue with doing it that way is that if there are any other businesses that would like to come in and do a change of use during the summer, you're talking 90 days from now. You do it by an emergency, it becomes effective immediately, which means you don't miss a building season or a...
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the difference between the two.
Okay. Well, I'm in support of doing this in a couple of weeks. And
okay. Then, seeing that there aren't any other lights, what we'll do is go ahead and bring this back 2 weeks from today. And I thank you all very much for your support. I also understand that our PD is now here, and Deputy Chief Kennard will be doing the presentation this evening. So we're going to go move back to announcements and presentations on the agenda. Deputy Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I know this is kind of a special night for the chief, and he looks forward to doing this every year. Unfortunately, he's sick tonight, so I'm going to take his place and do this. I have Sergeant Brian Johnston. Can you come up, please?
Walking you.
Sergeant Johnston is being awarded the Distinguished Service Award for his work with Behind the Badge Foundation and his years of service in this organization as its president. The Behind the Badge Foundation provides comprehensive support to Washington State law enforcement officers and agencies, family members, and the communities that they serve in a line of death duty. Death or when an officer suffers serious injury. Sergeant Johnston has incredible passion for officers killed in line of duty and their surviving family members. He has worked tirelessly with departments, family members to provide support, resources, and guidance during a very difficult time. Sergeant Johnston spends huge hours of off-duty time in performing his duties and passionately moving the organization forward and preparing for the future in the line of duty deaths. This organization helps every police officer in the state of Washington and gives them the knowledge and belief that should the unthinkable happen to their family members, they will be taken care of. We're very proud of Sergeant Johnson and his work with Behind the Badge. Thank you very much. The Distinguished Service Award says, in recognition for your tireless efforts and work for the Behind the Badge Foundation. Next, I'd like to have Sherry Simonson come forward, please. The Chief's Award is given to employees who have demonstrated their commitment to excellence and service and pride in the community. Tonight, this award is being awarded to Administrative Manager Sherry Simonson. For the past 6 years, Sherry has been an active participant in the planning and implementation of the New World system that went live throughout the county in October of last year. That's our new record system and our radio dispatch system. Sherry has served on the records building team, attending monthly and weekly meetings, vetting out problems, and getting best practices in place for agencies to use this new technology. She has become the incident-based reporting system expert in which all counties report crime statistics to the state of Washington and to the FBI. Sherry successfully led her team as one of three agencies in the state, or Snohomish County, I mean, to certify the system with the state in reporting these statistics. Since go live in October, Sherry continues to be an asset to our department and other agencies. Milk Creek Police Department recently recognized her efforts with a challenge claim stating, "Your help with the New World system and in general has been very much appreciated." The remarkable aspect of this long commitment that Sherry has continued to do her own job with her own responsibilities while juggling a myriad and adding tasks that were placed upon her at a county level. Her efforts that went well beyond expectations were especially evident in the smooth transition with the Monroe Police Department to this new technology. This commitment to excellence is exactly what is expected in this presentation of this kind of award. It is rare that we have an employee that has influenced such a large project and has been able to help not only our agency, but the other many agencies in our county. She is looked as to an expert and is relied upon by the agencies in Snohomish County. We're very proud of the work that Sherry has done. The Chief's Award gives me a very high honor, and we're very proud of to give it to Sherry for her hard work. Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Deputy Chief. And congratulations. And thank you both for your hard work. We are now going to move on to council member reports. Is that where we are?
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and go through council member reports. We're going to make a phone call to on the land sales right around 7:30, 7:35, somewhere in there. We don't have any reports from committees, so we'll go to individual reports. Council member Scarborough.
Nothing to report tonight.
Okay, council member Gamble.
I apologize. I missed last week's meeting. I showed up, but no one was here. You guys were like super, super quick. I caught the mayor before he left. But good week this last week. I wanted to thank, first of all, Gene for taking a call when he was out of the office over the weekend and responding to make sure that the bathrooms were open down at the baseball fields this weekend. That was very much appreciated by the teams that were practicing and the family members. Mostly the teams could care less, but the family members in the stands. Just that time of year back on the diamond is great. The field's looking great shape. The Parks Department's doing a great job. Attended the middle school concert here this last week, which was the first time they'd done a combination of jazz or band and choir, which was great. And then was a watchdog today, which that's always, yeah, that's why I'm not in my normal suit. So it was a good day. I have a 10-year-old tomorrow. So Aiden turns 10. Yeah, so this is a personal update, the whole thing. I'm in the mood.
All right, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Just to follow up from last week's report in regards to my health board report, it was asked, I believe, by Councilmember Kemp, if I remember correctly, when I asked for feedback, if I could provide a list of questions to respond to. And I am working on that. As I started to draft the questions, I felt it would be appropriate to provide council with a little bit of background information as well. And so to do that, I asked for some clarification on some of the information and data that we got at last week's meeting. And actually, literally, just as I walked in the in here tonight, I got the response to those questions. So I'll be meeting with health district staff tomorrow, and we'll be able to hopefully get the questions in a better report out to the council tomorrow night, in hopes of getting your feedback on the WIC and First Step process and the possible transition out of the health district into third party or private party. So other than that, that is all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight.
Okay. We'll head out to staff. Councilmember Osaki. Mr. Osaki.
Well, I'm still working these numbers a little bit, but just to dovetail on Director Kyle's and what the action you took on the building engineer, I shared this information with the staff about a week ago, just to kind of give you a sense of what's going on in terms of residential development in the city. If you go back 18 months, during the course of the last 18 months, the city council has finaled 4 plats, which means the lots are officially created, and that's about 165 plots. And then I started counting the lots that we have right now that we're processing that have either gone through preliminary plat approval or haven't gone to final plat approval, or ones that we're still processing that will come to the council for preliminary plat approval. And that's about another 375 lots. And then adding in pre-application meetings we have had or discussions with developers that haven't had pre-application meetings, but we're pretty sure they're going to submit something in the near future, we're looking at about maybe another 300 lots. So between what the council's approved in the last 18 months, what we're processing right now, and what may come in as applications in the near future, you're probably totaling about 800 single-family lots. And that doesn't include short plats, which are plats 9 lots or fewer. And it does not include multifamily development, like Monroe Family Village, they got finaled up, or some multifamily development projects we think will come in. So I'm sensing, going back about 18 months to maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now, you're going to add about maybe 1,000 units to the housing stock here in Monroe, which, given household per person,
2.9.
Maybe about 2,500 to 3,000 more people during that 6-year period. And that's quite a growth spurt. I mean, when I look at other communities and look at what's happened, you can kind of see those spikes. So if the economy stays strong and the shoe doesn't drop in the economy, that's a pretty big growth spurt for Monroe, probably over about a 5-6 year period.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Either Brad or Dave, have you reinstituted your get-together with the school district where you discuss the number of plots and or the growth where it affects their bus routes and providing transportation for kids for these new things? Does the school district still sign off on them for a bus stop for what schools these kids go to?
School district will get copies of the individual plats, and then through those plats they'll work on bus routes and where the stops will be located. But you know, that's actually a good idea, because in other places I've been to, this would be good information to actually meet with the school district and just kind of give the global picture rather than respond and react on a plat-by-plat basis.
Yeah, we used to have meetings once a month where we discuss that, and Brad can talk to it as much as I can. And I found them very helpful as a transportation supervisor to realize that we were going to put kids somewhere that needed to be picked up, and what it does to bus routes and bus capacities generally wasn't the biggest deal. But so when you say 1,000 in the next 4 or 5 years, or did you say 2,500?
I'm thinking about 1,000 units.
Uh-huh.
The economy stays strong, which translates into about 2,500 to 3,000 people.
Okay. And the school district uses what figure, Brad? Do you remember? 1 point something kids per house?
Yeah. A little bit more than 1.
Yeah, 1.3 or something. I won't say it's a significant number, but it's a number that needs to be dealt with and thought about. So you might think about in reinstituting that get together. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
When you get these new numbers and update, and it continually changes, do you update our Jane, who's marketing our property, and Kelsey. It would just seem like giving her the updated numbers on the development and what's happening in Monroe and how we're having possibly 800 new single residential might be good information for her to know as she is marketing the property. So, you know, keeping tabs of what's happening and passing that information out to her on a monthly or a quarterly basis, I think, would be helpful.
I agree. We've talked about this a little bit. It's when you think about the prices of the units that are being purchased and the purchasing power that's being added to the community, it adds up.
It's a selling point.
Right.
And so, especially if you have kind of the range of what the houses are going for and they're a little bit higher end, and then you're going to have that information more readily than maybe the business researching, because they're not going to maybe know what you know right now. So I think that would be really beneficial to connect those two. And then a couple questions. People have asked me this in the community. Any update on the Albertsons store? I mean, this is just curious if you've heard anything or know anything.
I have not heard anything myself, okay, other than the actual owner of that. The LLC called up about 3 months ago asking us if we knew of anyone that might be interested.
Okay. And then on the corner of Highway 2 and Frylands there, the old cement block, is there movement on that property that you know of?
We had a pre-application meeting probably about 9 months ago, and we've heard everything since.
Haven't heard, because I heard there was movement, and then nothing.
I just got a phone call from their engineer yesterday.
Okay.
And they want to talk more about flood plain stuff.
Okay.
And what the limitations of the lot are.
Okay. Okay. So there's just kind of more investigation looking at what. Okay.
And Mr. Brazel?
On the Albertsons piece, Jane Lanford is actually working with the owner of that,
okay,
and has had some discussions. Jane Lanford, our city broker. She's also working on
talked with whom, the brick people or the Albertsons?
Albertsons. And so there is some interested people, but they've yet to come to the city at this point.
Okay. And then, Dave, any plans for increased commercial space that you know of, or additions to anything in the Frylands? You've spoken a lot about residential, and that's great. Is there anything happening in the commercial arena?
The only item that's fairly recent would be we issued the permits for Carlos Jr.
Okay.
Fairly recently, within the last month or so. But I'm not sure that they've been broken ground yet.
And where is that again?
Is
that on the corner of Walmart?
It's the pad right in front of Walmart.
Okay, because I've seen a little bit there, so that's the only commercial.
That would be the major new commercial development, right?
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough?
David, is there any concerns with environmental cleanup out at the old Panalaska building that's stopping people from wanting to build on it? The brick place, Panalaska, whatever you want to call it. East Monroe, or West Monroe, excuse me.
I don't think so. I don't think they got that part.
Yeah.
It's shoreline, floodplain, critical areas, and airport.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
About 4 million,
okay,
right?
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further, Mr. Osaki?
That's it.
Okay. Deputy Chief? Okay. Mr. Feilberg?
Thank you. Two things. One is you'll notice the driving handrails we have.
Good call, Brad.
Yeah. And they started work on replacing the water lane on Columbia Street, West Columbia. So they were out sock cutting today. So that's underway.
So don't drive down there.
Yeah, don't drive down there. That's cool.
All right. Why don't we?
Am I dialing?
Yes. Let's go ahead and dial. Oh, we're going to go into exec session. Okay. All right. Sorry. All right. So we're going to move into executive session. This is pursuant to pricing of property RCW 42.30.110, subsection C. This is to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease when public knowledge regarding such consideration would cause a likelihood of decreased price. However, the final action selling or leasing public property shall be taken in a meeting open to the public. We'll be in executive session for approximately 10 minutes. There will be action to follow the executive session. Okay, we're back in regular session. Councilmember Cutback.
I move to add an item to the agenda, letter of intent to purchase parcel 7 North Kelsey Village Monroe.
Second.
I have a first and from Councilmember Cutback to add an item to the agenda, and a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Councilmember Cutback.
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the letter of intent to purchase parcel 7 North Kelsey Village Monroe with Barber Development Company, LLC, and expressly authorize any further minor revisions deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Cutback to authorize the mayor to sign a letter of intent for parcel 7 at North Kelsey Village, and a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. All right, thank you very much. Before we went into executive session, we had just finished the staff and department reports. Do we have a staff report on land sales updates this evening?
That was it.
Okay. The next item that we have then is mayor and administrative reports. You'll find Monroe this week in your packets. One item to add is I attended a drug awareness workshop on Saturday, and Sergeant Irving was there to give a presentation and also some other parties. It was a really good presentation, and I thank everybody that helped put that together. And you'll also note in Monroe this week that there was a call for sculptors that went out last week. Both the Chamber of Commerce and also the city have been entertaining phone calls from interested people since this went out. You'll note the Sky to Sound Water Trail meeting that I mentioned last week, and then the World Tourism Workshop. Please note that there is an Easter egg hunt or an egg hunt this weekend on Saturday at Lake Tai Park. The hunt starts at 10 o'clock sharp, but there will be other events happening as early as 9 a.m. And you'll notice an update on the Monroe Fire District 3-7 merger, and then some updates on some projects. So I should add to this also that last week we had our all-staff meeting. It was great seeing a lot of the staff come together. We do this quarterly to every 6 months or so. And the staff is all very, very busy with a lot of development activity right now. You heard part of that just on subdivisions from Mr. Osaki this evening. So there's a lot going on right now, and staff is very busy doing a lot of work right now. So that's great. It means that things are going really well in terms of the economy and people's interest in Monroe. All right. Mr. Brazel, lobbyist report.
We do not have one this week, but the mayor and I will be working with Greenlight to schedule a time for them to come in and do a wrap-up from the session. So that's in process. But I talked about the draft agenda.
Yes.
Draft agenda for April 5th, 2016. Chief Silva will be here to talk about the fire district merger under announcements and presentations. We have the consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we'll be talking about fireworks regulations. And the fire marshal will also be in attendance to discuss that and answer any questions. This evening, we added a number 2 to that, which is the transportation impact fees, a continuing discussion from this evening. Under new business, we have authorized mayor to sign a consultant agreement for Main Street Program, RFP. That's tentative. We're also going to add a number two to that, which is discussing track 999, the zoning of that. And then we have council member reports. Any additions or deletions?
Councilmember Cutterback.
I have a question. I know the police department is looking at doing a strategic plan or starting that process. So that's something update us on or just kind of what the process is and timeline. That might be nice.
We'll add. We'll work with PD on that, and we'll add it to the extended agenda.
Just an update with the processes, with the timeline, kind of.
Yep. All right, anything further? All right, extended agenda. Any other additions or deletions to the extended agenda?
All right.
Thank you all for your service. There is no other business necessary this evening. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn. Second.
Councilmember Gamble has made a motion to adjourn, followed by a second with Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. We're adjourned.